Scholastic Audio presents If You're Reading This by Trent Reedy. Read by Ramon D'Ocampo and Trent Reedy.
This book is dedicated to the memory and honor of Sergeant Seth Garceau, 1982-2005, of Alpha Company, 224th Engineer Battalion in Davenport, Iowa. To all those who never made it home, and to all the children everywhere who have suffered because of our long wars, may all of you always be remembered. May all of us find our way toward peace.
Chapter 1. My father had been dead 7 years the day his first letter arrived. But before I received the message that would change my life so much, 10th grade started out like any other. At lunchtime, I sat down next to Ethan Jones.
Hey, Mike.
He flicked a chicken nugget with his finger.
Can you believe they feed us this crap? There's no actual food in this food.
I picked up a nugget and took a bite, but chomped down on one of those tiny hard pieces and spat the gristle into a napkin. I think they're supposed to be educational.
Life is like a high school chicken nugget.
I smiled. It can be pretty good, but you have to learn how to deal with the tough bits. Ethan laughed.
Dude, that's so gross. True, but gross. Do you think...
His words dropped off as his attention focused behind me. I turned to see Coach Carter marching up to our table.
Hey, Coach,
Ethan said. Carter put his hands on his hips and nodded to him.
Mr. Jones?
He fixed his gaze on me.
Wilson, did you give any more thought to what we talked about this morning?
The guy was persistent. I thought about it, Coach.
And?
I don't know, It was hard to talk around him. I have to work a lot. Plus, my mom doesn't think, you know, that I really should.
Yeah, but I bet if you asked her really nicely, she'd say yes,
Ethan said.
Mike's real good, Coach.
I know that, said Carter.
To me, he added,
I saw you play in junior high. You have some real talent, and we need you. Your biceps are about to split the sleeves of your t-shirt. You've been working at Derek Harris's farm, right?
I nodded.
Mr. Wilson, you have the rest of your life to work. You only have 3 more years to play football. Don't miss out on the best years of your life.
I did want to play football. It was just complicated for me. I don't know, Coach.
Look, I don't chase everybody down like this. The rest of the guys have been busting their butts for over a week in camp and 2-a-day practices. I can get you caught up if you start this week, but Friday's the first game. If you're not on the team before then, you never will be.
Think it over. He turned and marched away across the cafetorium. His fists held out from his sides and his arms cocked back a little like always.
Wow, Ethan said. I thought he was on his way over here to chew us out about something. You never can tell when the volcano is going to erupt, but he's right, dude. You need to get back on the team. You were so good back in 7th grade. What did the junior high coach call you? Hans Wilson or something?
Something like that, I said.
Well, are you going to...
Did you not just hear me talking to Coach?
I know,
but can you at least ask your mom again? You've been kind of a hermit or something these last couple years. All you do is go to school, work on the farm, and do homework.
Playing football might help you fit in more. I don't know, maybe you could even score a date to the homecoming dance.
I snapped my fingers.
Hey, speaking of the dance, I have good news about your quest.
The quest?
Ethan leaned forward.
What did you hear?
The quest was Ethan's name for his unending efforts to regain the affection of Raylan Latham, his freshman year homecoming date. To hear him tell it,
His night at the dance with her had been more romantic than Cinderella, the royal wedding, and Romeo and Juliet combined. But the guy never made his move, never asked Raylan out again, and Chris Moore moved in as her boyfriend in the meantime. Well, it could be nothing. You know how Haley and the rest of the Gossip Girls aren't always so accurate, I said. But in first period geometry...
Dude, what?
Well, they were saying Chris cheated on Raylan, and the two of them are breaking up. Ethan swore.
He never did treat her right.
I ate another spongy nugget.
Yeah, because you're so hoping they have a nice, happy relationship.
He sat back in his chair, trying to look casual as he sneaked glances at Raylan across the cafetorium. She was one of those pretty pale girls with white blonde hair who seemed perpetually sunburned all summer.
Anyway, as soon as you're sure she and Moore have broken up, you should ask her to homecoming, I said. Get your second chance. Homecoming is weeks away, Ethan said.
The quest is the quest, I reminded him. Don't give them time to make up.
How could they make up after he did that to her? I'd never cheat on her.
I know you wouldn't, I said. Not even while she's going out with someone else. Ethan didn't get the joke. He never looked so happy as when he had some reason to hope that things might be improving between him and Raylan.
Thanks for telling me this. I hope you're right.
We ate in silence for a while. Hey, the Hawkeyes play this weekend, I said. Should be on ESPN. Want to get together and watch it? Ethan looked down at the table.
Yeah, well, see, my dad is actually taking me to the game.
It's in Chicago, I said.
Yeah, we're borrowing my grandpa's RV and everything.
Wow, that's cool. I'd give anything to be able to see the Hawks play live.
My dad had a couple extra tickets. Gabe and his dad are going with us.
Oh, I took a drink of my milk that had somehow already warmed up.
Sorry, said Ethan,
but he had the two tickets and he's friends with Gabe's dad, plus Gabe and I are on the football team together and stuff. You have nothing to apologize for, I said. All that driving time, I have to work, and anyway, I started the first book in this cool new series last night, and I've already checked out the second one. Should be great. Ethan frowned.
What? I feel like we're leaving you out.
I shrugged.
Don't worry about it. I probably couldn't have gone even if you had a ticket for me.
I made myself smile.
I'm pretty busy with everything.
When I stopped at home to drop off my books and change into work clothes, Mom was there, done with the gas and sip, and getting ready to go to her night job at the nursing home. She was sitting at the dining room table with the usual clutter shoved to one side, and a calculator and papers spread all over the space she'd made. It was Bill's day, and that could put her in a rotten mood.
Hey, Mom, I said with all the cheer I could muster.
What's up?
Ugh, boring old bills.
She rubbed her eyes.
But never mind that. How was the big first day of sophomore year?
Fine, I said. Pretty much the same as last year.
I got you something today when I was at work.
The three wolf heads or the wizard fighting the dragon?
Mom and I always joked about these cheaply made but expensive ceramic sculpture things that they sold at the gas and sip, alongside the cigarette lighters and power adapters and windshield scrapers.
Close, she laughed. I bought you the 2-foot eagle with a sword in its beak.
Oh, you shouldn't have, I said. No, really, you shouldn't have. Mom got up from the table and hugged me.
What? Doesn't every nearly 16-year-old boy want a giant eagle knick-knack in his room?
She handed me a small paper sack.
Here you go, hun.
I pulled out a cold Power Slam energy drink and a little pack of beef jerky.
My favorite.
Thanks, Mom. I swear if I could have just this to eat and drink for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I'm always looking out for your health. She was in a good mood. Maybe this was my chance.
Hey, Coach Carter talked to me today.
Who?
The football coach. What did he want?
Well, he wanted to know if I would go out for football this year.
Mom frowned. It's too late, isn't it?
He says I have until Friday to sign up, I said. She started messing with her purse. After a long silence, I asked, So can I?
Can you what?
I pulled out the parental permission form.
Will you sign this so I can play football? Oh, Michael, I don't know. You're doing so great with your schoolwork, and I don't want to see you get hurt again.
I used to have a ton of fun playing football in the backyard with my dad, and in fifth and sixth grade with the guys. But the best was the one and only year I'd been allowed to go out for the team. Our seventh grade squad went 4-1, and I was the second leading scorer, 2 dinky points behind Clint Stewart. In my last game, I jumped up to grab this way out there pass, but landed wrong, spraining my ankle. The other team's safety launched himself at me for the tackle, but we landed in the end zone, so I still managed to score the touchdown. Then, Mom went crazy over seeing her little boy hurt. She had never been too happy about me playing football, and she blamed my sprain on the hit I'd taken, not on a simple, stupid accident. She then refused to sign the football permission slip for 8th grade and last year.
I'm not going to get hurt, Mom.
It wasn't even the... Just... Mom held her hands up. Can we not talk about this right now? I bring you... She pointed to my Power Slam and jerky. Those things are expensive. And nothing's ever good enough. I gotta go. Maybe next year, Mikey. She kissed me on top of my head as she walked out the door, leaving me alone with the unsigned form.